That'll be good. Well, it's great to be with you this morning, and we are continuing for the next, this week and next week, talking about influence. Last week, Jen talked about who are the people that influence you? Who's the most influential person in your life? We talked about what influences you, and then what do you or who do you influence? Well, we as a church and as individuals are called by God to be purposeful about how we are influenced and how we influence other people, especially when it comes to our spiritual lives. And so this week, we're going to take a look at our influence in the world, not simply as individuals, but as Christians and how we have influence collectively as the body of Christ on other people. So for this week, there are some questions to ask, and I hope that with each of the questions that we're asking as we're thinking about influence, that you really are taking some time to let that idea bounce around your head and your heart and think through the influences that you have on other people and the influences that you have on other people's lives. And so a couple questions for today. One is, what is your influence in the world? What is your influence in the world? Another question for you to perhaps have is, what would God have me change to more reflect the influence God wants me to have in the world? And maybe that's a less fun question because it involves change and perhaps changing behavior or actions or a routine. And then finally, what is our influence? What is our influence, not just as individuals, but the importance of recognizing that we collectively, as a church, we collectively, as Christians in the body of Christ, have an opportunity to influence other people in the world. So our passage of scripture today is from Matthew chapter 5, 14 through 16. Hear these words. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. So these words from Jesus are in Matthew's gospel, and they come as part of the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus is speaking to his disciples and others who are gathered there to just listen to what it is that he has to share as he's preaching and teaching. And one thing he shares to them here is that they are the light of the world. They are the light of the world. And as they hear these words, Jesus has previously said that he is the light of the world, and now he is telling them that they are the light of the world. So their minds have to be racing, recognizing that this isn't just about him, it's about us too, and there's something for us to do that's involved with this. So right before the light passage, there is the section that says, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. Now these you are's, both of them, the you are the salt and you are the light, are not to one individual, but are to the disciples. And these are words that we should read as being shared to us as believers, as followers of Christ. And as the disciples are hearing these words, there's something familiar that's present for them, because Jerusalem was referred to as a light to the Gentiles. Jerusalem, the city, was referred to as a light to the Gentiles. And what the Jews knew was that the light was not from the city, but the light was from God and what God was doing. And in the same way here in this passage, there's a recognition that being called the light of the world, the light is coming from God, that source of light that comes out of us and who we are as followers of Christ is coming from God. So the city on the hill cannot be hidden was also a great reference to Jerusalem. Jerusalem was that city that was on a hill. As you were walking up towards it, you couldn't help but to see the city. And when there were lights there, it was a beacon of light for people to walk to. The passage continues to go on and talks about we don't hide a lamp, we put it on a stand. And today I've brought a flashlight with me, and you can thank my parents, Jack and Ethel Arnold. They taught me good flashlight etiquette. I'm not going to shine it in your eyes, although it's tempting. I won't do that. But in that, as we think about a light, we need a light to see. If it was completely dark in here, we would have trouble navigating around where it is that we need to go. Well, in this passage, it talks about we don't hide a lamp. We don't put it under a bowl. The homes in Palestine were significantly smaller than our homes, and there was often just one window that would be within the homes. And so a house with one window, there would be little light that would be coming in. And so they would light a lamp. And when they would light a lamp, they wouldn't put it down on the ground because it wouldn't shine over the whole room. So they would put it on a stand. I mean, like, we have lamps that are higher. We don't have lamps that are on the ground because we want the light to be cast. We want the light to shine over a broader area. And the same is true for us. When we walk into a room that's dark, I imagine our first instinct is to turn the light on because we want to see that which is before us. We don't want things to be hidden. We don't want things to be out of our sight. Well, the passage goes on to say, in the same way, let your light shine. And let your light shine in such a way that God is glorified. And that's an important note to make here, that God is the one that is glorified in the great things that we are able to do for him. As we are shining lights, we do not take the credit for those things which we are doing, but we should be giving credit to God and thanks to God for all he has done in our light, in our life. So how do we shine bright? Well, again, I have this flashlight here, and ironically, yesterday when I went to get it out of the cupboard where it is, just in case the power goes out or we need a flashlight, I took it down and I hit the button on the back, and the light did not turn on. And that's because I had neglected it. I'd not changed the batteries in multiple years. This was a Hurricane Matthew flashlight. And so it's been a while since then. And so the batteries had not been changed. So I changed the batteries so that it would shine bright. And this really is a great flashlight, by the way. This is not a promo, but it's a really good flashlight. And so I put the batteries in there, but the recognition in that is that we also, in order to shine the light of Christ in who we are, we have to be filled up. We don't just shine on our own strength, the light of Christ. We need to be studying. We need to be reading God's word. We need to be putting ourselves around other people who are also believers so that we can understand what God is teaching them and allow that to rub off on who we are. Matthew 12:34 says, out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks. Those things that you are pouring into your heart are those things that are going to flow out of your mouth, because that's what happens in our lives. We become like the things that we are around. Last week, Jen was sharing in her message that our daughter Jaden recognized that after a year of college away, that she was starting to say and pick up phrases of a lot of things that her friends were saying. And the good news is they're all good phrases, don't worry. But as she was talking about that, she was recognizing that this person always says that, and now I'm starting to say it. Well, if you think about that small example, it's true in our spiritual lives and our spiritual growth and walk with Christ. If we are putting ourselves in places where we're going to absorb things from other people, those are going to start being lived out in our life, and those will shine in and through us. So we need to be intentional about that. We need to be purposeful, and we need to allow the light to shine for God's glory. But let's talk about the light for a minute. The light is seen, the light is also a guide, and the light can also be used as a warning. So first, the light is to be seen. The point of the light is that it would illuminate things so that we can see what's before us. The same is true for us as followers of Christ. We are to be seen. Our faith is not simply to be a Sunday morning event where we come here behind closed doors and then go out into the world and do absolutely nothing that we learned here. But our faith is to be lived out outside of these walls, Monday through Saturday, and everything that we're doing. We are living that out, or we ought to be living that out. It's our opportunity to be a light to the world, that we would be seen. We also have the opportunity to be a guide. Like this flashlight is a guide. If it was the middle of the night and we were walking through a trail, I'd probably hold it up higher so that the light would be cast in front of me, but also behind. So as we're walking along, we'd be able to see where we're going. It can be a guide to lead the way. And the world needs a guiding light. And we have an opportunity that God has given us to be a guiding light for other people. When Jen and I were directors of youth ministry at a church in Orlando for 7 years, we had the opportunity several times to go on outdoor adventure trips up to North Georgia and Tennessee, and on a couple occasions we had the chance to go spelunking or caving. And we went to this one cave a couple different times, and it was pretty magnificent. You walk in to the mouth of the cave, and it's about the size of this room as you're walking in, and then it just gets more and more narrow. And it gets cooler and cooler the further you get in, and it gets darker and darker. And we all had flashlights, and there was a stream that kind of ran along the path, and we got way, way into the cave, probably more than a quarter mile into the cave, and we sat down on a little beach area. There were about 20 of us, and we sat down, and we turned out our flashlights. And it was pitch black. Like, the person who was guiding us and leading us said, "I want you to hold your hand up in front of your face." And we did that, and we could not see our hands in front of our face. We could feel the presence of our hand there, but we could not see it because it was so dark. And then they lit a match and lit a candle and read this passage and a couple other passages of scripture that talk about light. And in that, we recognize the significance that one little light can make in the midst of darkness, because we were able to see. We were able to see each other. And then we turned our flashlights on again, and the more lights that were there, we were able to see more. And there was a greater feeling of safety that the students had. And at first, they weren't excited about turning their flashlights off. You know, talk about being scared of the dark. It was pitch black, and so it was a scary moment, but a great lesson of recognizing that the light is our guide. And then the light is also a warning. When you have a light, you can see that you're about to step off a cliff. You can point that out to somebody else. You can see with a light that you're about to hit your head on something, and so you can warn somebody with that. And so we as believers, as followers of Christ, as we shine our light, have an opportunity to be seen, we have an opportunity to guide, and we have an opportunity to warn. But it's important that we do all three of those things. Maybe we're really good at one of them, but it's important that we do all three, because if all we are doing is warning people and telling them that they are messing up and that they are failing and that they're falling short and that they're not doing what God would have them do, it's not going to go over so well. But when they see the light shining from a believer who loves and cares for them, truly loves and cares for them, they're going to be far more inclined to listen to what someone has to say. You know, there's a phrase that says, people don't care how much you know until they know how much you care. And so when you demonstrate care to somebody else, they're able to see that and recognize that, and then they will listen to you, and you can speak into their lives in powerful ways. So others will be more inclined to listen to the warnings if they are also experiencing our lives as guiding lights. We need to have a consistent influence on the world. We need to not let our light go out, but to continue to shine. At the end of the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 28, verse 19, Jesus says, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. and I will be with you always until the end of the age. And as Jesus shares those things, those are words for those same disciples and same group that heard him speaking about being the light of the world. He again gives them that message here, this new message of go and tell of what you have heard. And that is a message for us to hear. And so as we think about that, I'm so glad that the Manon Presbyterian Church is a church that partners with people who are going to other places and doing amazing things. To have Sonny and Sean from Three Rivers Outreach here to be able to share with us about their work in Liberia and the impact that being a light in the midst of a place that has experienced great darkness, a civil war for that amount of time, for 14 years, to be able to be a light to people that are hurting. What a gift. Our church sponsors a variety of missionaries around the world. The Baquettes, who are in Cambodia, have translated the New Testament into a new language that hadn't been in Scripture yet, and they have done that. Now they're working on the Old Testament. The Howders, who are in Brazil, who teach at Bethany Seminary, who are equipping a new group of pastors and Christian leaders for the next generation. We are a church that wants to come alongside and walk with people so that they can do that. And the good news is you don't have to go to the other side of the globe to be able to share your faith and to shine your light. You can do that right here. And this summer, we had students go to both Tennessee and to Costa Rica. And in each of those places, they were involved with projects where they were doing work projects in some places, and other places they were doing vacation Bible school, and some places they were just getting to know people who were living in a nursing home and coming alongside them and hearing their stories and being present. And in each of those things, simply by their presence and being there and shining their light, they had the opportunity to provide influence on those that they were present with. So not everyone can go to another country to shine the light of Christ and their influence in the world, but the good news is you can do that wherever you are. And with influence, we need to be intentional and not just hope that something's going to happen. We need to take initiative and think about how we can get connected and how we can get involved. We also need to be thinking about what are those things within our lives that other people are going to see that is going to be attractive to them for them to want to consider being a follower of Christ. And sometimes it can be hard to think of those things, but I think that Galatians 5:22 that talks about the fruits of the Spirit does a great job of speaking to those things that are attractive to a world that is hurting and that is in need. And in Galatians 5:22, it says, "For the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control." Think about even taking on one or two of those things in this next week. What an amazing thing that would be for other people to experience, let alone for you yourself to experience. It's a great, great gift. So the question to ask yourself is, what am I going to do? How am I going to allow the light of Christ to shine in me this week, this day, this month, this next year? How am I going to influence the world for Christ? And the good news is you don't have to start your own thing. You may be thinking, I need to start something all by myself, but there are great things that are already happening that are going on that you can partner with and be a part of. And in not having to start your own thing, this passage reminds us that you are the light of the world and that you is plural. Jesus is speaking that you, plural, are the light of the world. And so as we think about joining things, there's a great illustration that speaks to that. And I don't know if you've had the opportunity to see redwood trees or redwood forest, but redwoods are pretty spectacular trees. They're nearly 300 feet tall, but their roots only go 6 feet deep. So imagine that. I was trying to think of another example to think of how crazy that is. And so for all of us here in Florida that go to the beach, think about taking your beach umbrella to the beach. I mean, how far down do you have to stick your umbrella so that it doesn't fall over? I mean, in that proportion, you could put your beach umbrella 1 inch down and it would still stand up. I mean, that sounds ridiculous because we know that it would fall over. But what happens with redwood trees is redwood trees do not exist alone. They are in community, and so this community of trees has roots that don't just go 6 feet down, but they go to the side and they connect with the other trees. And they don't just connect with the other trees for support, but they also provide nutrients. And so when one tree dies, those nutrients are absorbed back into the roots of those other trees. A lot of places where redwood trees are, there is not a lot of rain, but there is a lot of fog. And so the redwood trees absorb the moisture and they share that moisture with one another. So there's a collective effort of those redwood trees working together and a rooted connection. And we need a rooted connection to other Christians to be the body of Christ, which God has called us to be. Matthew 5:16 says, "Let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven." The goal is that not that we would be the ones that are glorified or recognized for the great things that we are doing, but that will happen. People will want to give you credit, but you can say, "Praise God, this is about what God is doing." And that will cause them to pause and think there's something different in who you are. But as we think about the example of the flashlight, sometimes we can get in the way of allowing the light of Christ to shine. You know, our pride can get in the way, and then the light of Christ isn't able to shine. Our fears get in the way, and the light of Christ isn't able to shine. Our stubbornness gets in the way, and the light of Christ is not able to shine. Or our temper gets in the way, and the light of Christ is not able to shine. The good news is that in Christ we have forgiveness, and he extends forgiveness to us. And so we can seek that and then seek again to continue to be the light of Christ to others who are in need of that. But wherever you are, friends, you have the opportunity to be a light to somebody that is in need. You may be a light to somebody who is undergoing cancer treatments or has lost a loved one or has a loved one who has dementia, and you are simply someone who comes alongside them and listens and is present and cares for them. And as you do that, you are a light to them, and you are a light to others who may see that and be inspired by that to do that themselves and come alongside somebody just to listen and be present and to share the love of Christ. But by pouring into other people, you influence them for Christ. By pouring into other people, you influence them for Christ. I mean, it's a picture of discipleship, of those things rubbing off on one another so that it's contagious. But there are opportunities to serve right here. If you're thinking about, what do I do? How do I get involved? You can serve right here. You can be a part of the men's ministry or the women's ministry and serve in that capacity. You can be a part of serving at the food pantry. And there's 35 to 40 families each week that receive food, but I promise you, they receive so much more than food when they come to the parking lot and we bring them groceries. Because, and when I say we, I mean you as volunteers that carry groceries to their car. It's your conversation, it's the hello that you have, it's the relationship and connection that is made that is shining the light of Christ bright in that time. You can get involved with Meals on Wheels and deliver meals to somebody that's homebound and be a point of contact, a shining light for someone that doesn't have a ton of interaction with other people. But there are so many possibilities. The question is, where is it that God is calling you to serve and to be? God, where would you have me be a light? Oftentimes, I pray just that. My prayer often is, God, help me to see where it is that you are working, that I can join you in that. Because God is already at work. We just need to open our eyes to be able to see that so that we can shine his light bright in those places. Pray with me. Oh God, thank you for this day. I thank you for the opportunity to be able to gather together and worship this morning. I thank you again for Sonny and Sean being here and for the work that they are doing in Liberia, and ask that you would place your hand and blessing upon Three Rivers Outreach and the light of Christ that they are shining in Liberia. God, I pray too that you would be with each of us, that you would help us to think about our influence in the world, that we would really take a look at opportunities that we might have to influence others for Christ and what that would look like. Open our eyes, God, that we might be a light that is seen, that we might be a light that is a guide, and that we might be a light that is a warning, all in proportion to one another, so that people will know that they are truly loved with all of who we are. God, we lift up these things and pray them in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. I invite you to stand.